Hi, my name is Zakan, and welcome to another one of my outrageously amazing, insanely lightning master keys of creation about how to be the unlimited source master of divine creation that you truly are to create joy, love, well-being, and abundance you desire. And you'll find tons of more self-empowering goodies to help you become a conscious, deliberate creator of reality on my website at zakyron.com. Now, this one is a bit more along the lines of galactic history, which I've done a few vodcasts in this realm. This one is entitled The Bermuda Triangle. Bum, 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 bum. A brief ET history in relationship to planet Earth. Now, in my audiobook, ET Human History, I've talked about the characters responsible for this unstable phenomena, also known as the Bermuda Triangle or the Devil's Triangle, bum, 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 that exists in the Caribbean area between Bermuda, Florida, and Puerto Rico, that has been swallowing ships and planes for literally hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, considering this story began long ago in the time of Atlantis. Which started, Atlantis lasted over many, many years, but started around 800,000 years ago. Now, this vodcast was inspired by the countless documentaries I've seen about the Bermuda, aka Devil's Triangle, and specifically the best one I have ever seen, done by a docu-series entitled Forbidden History, that got so close when they talked about Atlantis but didn't get into Atlantis in any depth, and didn't really get to the truth that most anomalous, paranormal, out of this world, conspiratorial, etc. documentaries get close to but never go far enough, as far as I'm concerned, because people are so afraid of getting into our galactic ET history, as well as ancient civilizations that were established by extraterrestrials. In general, the entire ET thing is still ultra fringe science and science fiction for most people. Whereas for me, ETs, UFOs, etc. are obvious and natural because I am an extraterrestrial. Or you could call me an ET hybrid because my body is human, but my soul is straight up ET. Anyway, I decided to set the record straight based upon knowledge I learned decades ago about the ETs and experiments that created the unstable Bermuda Triangle anomaly. So in this documentary I was speaking about, they got close because one of the hypotheses about the cause of the Bermuda Triangle was a possible energy generating submerged pyramid that may be under the water, left over from the Atlantean days, which was close, but they didn't quite get a cigar. And they also explored a secret naval base in that area, again close, but close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Now, the reason there is this extremely unstable vortex in the Bermuda Triangle area, and the reason why so many ships and then later planes have disappeared and gotten lost in this area, is because in that area there is, or was, a very unstable rip in the space-time continuum. I say was because I know that the Galactic Federation, a federation of benevolent, cooperative ET races, planets, and star systems, similar to the United Federation of Planets, were trying to repair that rip in space-time. So, where and when did it come from? To answer that, we must go back in time to the times of Atlantis and Lemuria and the various Atlantean colonies that existed around this planet, and civilizations that came out of that Lemurian and those Lemurian Atlantean times. Now, in my ET Human History audiobook, I go into much more detail about the origins of Lemuria, Atlantis, and other sister civilizations that they set up on planet Earth, such as Egypt, Samaria, the Yu Empire, which was in central China and Tibet, the Rama Empire in what is now India, and the Mayan Empire in Central and South America. And you can read more about these civilizations in Sheldon Neidl's amazing book, You Are Becoming a Galactic Human. And other Galactic ET and Ancient Civilization books that are out there. Most of them are channeled, channeling the Pleiadians, etc. Like Barbara Hand-Clough, Barbara Marciniak, etc. Now, the origin of human and animal life on planet Earth is quite complex, but suffice it to say that the human species is a starseed species, originally created in the Vega star system by a cetacean-type species that previously lived on Earth. They were trying to create a galactic guardian species that would be more centered in love, as the cetaceans are, and to establish this species on Earth. Now, this occurred roughly 5 million years ago, and roughly 2 million years ago, they established a galactic human civilization on Earth based upon the principles of life in the Sirius star system, supported by the spiritual hierarchy, obviously a system that's very enlightened. Now, this civilization and galactic guardianship was established to counteract, so to speak, the domineering attitude of an alliance between two ET species, specifically a race of reptiles and dinosaurs. Yeah, that's you heard right, folks. Reptiles and dinosaur human-esque creatures that exist out there in the galaxy that we refer to as the Reptoids and Dinoids. These two species dominate a good part of our galaxy and have tried to dominate our Earth many millions of years ago. And the Reptoids and Dinoids were driven out by the pre-cetaceans who had previously lived and thrived on planet Earth and even cohabitated peacefully with a Reptoid-Dinoid civilization for a long time. Of course, these cetacean beings that I am speaking about were more humanesque land-based beings, not the water-based cetaceans that we know today. What followed was a very bloody war which did drive out the Reptoids and Dinoids, but the fallout was the destruction of Mars and Venus. That's right, Mars and Venus used to be inhabitable and inhabited, as well as the continent and civilization of Hibernia, a previous land base area and civilization. Now, after driving out the Reptoids and the Dinoids, galactic human civilization was set up on the continent of Lemuria, which existed in the Pacific between what is now Australia and the Americas. This occurred around 900,000 years ago. Now, Lemuria was a very enlightened civilization based upon Sirian, Lyran spiritual principles, and Lemuria had also set up many daughter empires around the Earth, especially the Yu Empire, in the area of what is now Tibet in central China. And the largest daughter empire that they set up was Atlantis, which was a continent between America and Europe. Remnants of that civilization can be seen underwater in the Bahamas. At some point, the Atlanteans began to form their own unique perspective and no longer saw themselves as a daughter empire of Lemuria, but wanted to be a more of a mother empire and subsequently exert their control to the extreme that they wanted to destroy the current mother civilization of Lemuria. Now, Atlantis then, with the help of renegade ET allies from Alpha Centauri and the Pleiades, destroyed the continent of Lemuria by shattering one of our two moons. That's right, we used to have two moons, and raining asteroids down upon Lemuria, which created a volcanic catastrophe, which imploded volcanic gas chambers under Lemuria and sank the continent. And the remnants of this destruction are the asteroid rings of Saturn. Now, this destruction occurred around 25,000 years ago. The Atlanteans then proceeded to exert their very non-democratic, controlling, domineering rule upon the planet. But there were still many civilizations on Earth that were originally set up by Lemuria that were loyal to the more loving, spiritual, and democratic principles of Lemuria. Rebellions continued for around 10,000 years until Atlantis decided to once and for all destroy these Lemurian-based colonies, specifically Ionia, which was based on what is now the continent of Europe. And the Atlantean elite decided to use a similar plan as they had used to destroy Lemuria. But the Ionians and their allies got wind of their nefarious plan and decided to beat them to the punch. And the Shambhala Empire, aka the Agartha Empire, which is an underground civilization originally set up in the Tibet Central China region together with Horus, leader of the Egyptian civilization, and the Rama Empire, aka India, decided to destroy some of the crystal temples, which housed the network of crystals that held together the firmament, which was a layer of crystallized water surrounding the earth that protected our atmosphere from extreme weather and maintained a steady temperature. Firmament is spoken about in the Bible and probably a lot of other really ancient texts. Now, their plan was to just knock a hole in the firmament and flood out Atlantis. They, of course, succeeded in destroying Atlantis, but they also succeeded in destroying the firmament entirely, creating the Great Flood written about in the Bible and subsequently destroying most life on planet Earth, the Roman Empire, the Egyptian Empire, and the Sumerian Empire. And this flood also spread worldwide, which is why most civilizations have a flood story in their historical mythology. Now, finally, what about the Bermuda Triangle? Well, now we swing back to Atlantis. So I've already mentioned the crystal temples. Now, during the Lemurian and Atlantean times, we used crystals for everything. The Atlanteans were the masters of crystals. And we did lots of good things as well as bad things with those crystals. I say we because I was one of those Atlanteans who did nefarious things with crystals. During one of the many retreats that I attended with a channeled entity by the name of Mafu, in the 80s and 90s, at one retreat at a really amazing place called Zaka Lake in California, every attendee at that retreat had experienced a past life in Atlantis together. And Mafu led us through a really amazing past life experience to remember those very profound lifetimes. Now, for me personally, I was a very powerful priestess and crystal master, or mistress, if you will. And I did some pretty nasty things I probably did some good things as well, but I did some pretty nasty things with my power and the power of crystals. Anyway, you must understand that we are a galactic species set up by the extraterrestrials, specifically of the Galactic Federation. Now, our planet is basically an ET colony. And many species of ETs have lived here and set up colonies here. Basically, life is just like Star Trek, and the various ET colonizers got here via spaceships. And colonies regularly communicated with and were governed by their mother civilizations in far-flung star systems such as Sirius and the Pleiades. And most of these ET civilizations are members of a benevolent federation of ET species and civilizations spread out across the galaxy. Even many reptoid and dinoid civilizations are joining this federation, the Galactic Federation of Light. So, We have benevolent ETs that are part of the Galactic Federation that commune with the spiritual hierarchy. But just like Star Trek and Star Wars, there are rebel ETs that have their own agendas and like to do what the heck they want. Some of which are beings that are the same species of ETs that are part of the Galactic Federation, but choose to not play fair. Now, I talked about the wars between Atlantis, Lemuria, and Lemurian colonies, and I touched on wars between humans and the Reptoid Dinoid Alliance. Now, these conflicts have gone on for literally millions of years across our galaxy between humans and the Reptoid Dinoids, including on this planet prior to the establishment of the Lemurian human colony. And there are many other ET species throughout the galaxy, other than humans and reptoids and dinoids. One of those races is the classic big-eyed, round-headed, spindly gray ETs that have been abducting us humans for 100 years or so. But here is the plot twist. Even though these classic gray aliens, look classically extraterrestrial, well, they're actually hybrid humans. Bum 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 bum, boom, mic drop. Who'd have saw that coming? So why have they been abducting us? What is their interest in you, in us humans? Well, there are two stories about the Greys. One is that due to galactic wars and radiation, their species was decimated to the degree that they could no longer reproduce and began cloning to continue their species. The other story is from Bashar, who is an entity channeled by Darrell Anka, who is a hybrid Esesani from the future. And according to him, the Greys are not actually ETs, but are mutated humans. And they have been abducting us to get our DNA. And that makes complete sense that they are actually mutated humans rather than ETs, and why they are so fascinated with our DNA and our sexuality and reproduction. Because according to Bashar, they are from a parallel Earth where they destroyed their environment and became addicted to intellect. And they became so mentally oriented that they lost all ability to feel emotions and to feel love. They then lost their sensual desires and mutated into a completely androgynous species with no sex and no sexuality. And to continue their species, they reverted to cloning as the only way to continue reproducing. But due to cloning and the loss of their emotional bodies, their DNA was no longer viable, and their species was essentially doomed. So they set out to try and revive their species back to its human origin by combining our human DNA with their DNA. Hence, all of the abductions and fascination with our sexuality, and our reproduction abilities, including, bizarrely enough, the reproductive organs of cows. Because if you recall, if you know anything about the history of the 80s and 90s, there were lots of cows as well as humans being abducted, and their sexual organs were basically removed with lasers. Anyway, and they succeeded in creating a hybrid race called the Esesani. There's a few other words for them as well, but that's the main terminology for them. Now, where does my previous dissertation on Atlantis and ETs, etc., and Lemuria come into play? Well, during the time of Atlantis, the gray mutated humans needed to get to our Earth to access our pure human DNA, and they tried to use external Merkaba technology to knock a hole in the space-time continuum to get here. And according to Drunvalo Melchizedek, in his book Secrets of the Flower of Life, and his video courses that he did long ago. They used external Merkaba or technological light body technology to try and ascend, to try to sort of ascend to higher dimensions, because they knew that their current faulty DNA could not evolve or ascend to higher dimensions when planet Earth ascends to a higher level of consciousness. Because even though humans are not typically aware of it, we each have a light body. We each have a light encoded geometric structure around our physical bodies that we can activate and use to move into and through higher dimensions, and also used to physically evolve as a species into a higher level of 12 strands DNA, because we only have access to 2 strands of DNA currently. That's another story. Suffice it to say, the mutated human grays needed our pure human DNA combined with their DNA to create a new race of humans that could evolve, because it had gender and sexuality and the ability to have sex and propagate the species with love, not technology. But most importantly, to love in general, because you can only evolve spiritually and go to higher dimensions of evolution with love, not technology and not with intellect, because the nature of the universe, the nature of creation, is unconditional love and joy. And you can't bust your way into higher dimensions using technology, which is what the Greys were trying to do at the time of Atlantis, and which is what created the unstable space-time conditions in the Bermuda Triangle area. And we can pretty much assume that the Greys were assisted by the Atlanteans with their experiments, because that was kind of crap that the Atlanteans were getting up to, which obviously failed miserably. But our story does not end there, because the experiments with our DNA didn't really get fully amped up until the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and especially the 80s and 90s. Here's where our story becomes more present time, and less mythological and galactic, historical, etc. Because in the 1940s, with World War II, and especially the proliferation of nuclear bombs, here's where we really came under the ET radar, so to speak, and where the ETs started getting directly involved with planetary governments. And there were 2 different groups of ETs, those being the Greys, who were supporting the U.S. government by making a deal whereby they would give the U.S. government technologies in exchange for allowing them to abduct humans without any government interference. And there was also a renegade group of Pleiadians supporting the Nazis by giving them space and rocket technologies. And one of the classic true conspiracies was the fact that when the USA and Russia invaded Germany, they recovered many ET technologies, including saucer and bell-shaped spaceships. Why these Pleiadians were supporting the Nazis is an absolute mystery yet to be solved. But needless to say, when you are a group of ETs stationed out on the outer rims of the galaxy, sometimes these ETs get power hungry and create their own agendas, just like in the movies. But enough about the Nazis. We've banged out on way long enough about them. Now, the Greys still had their agenda to try and bust through the dimensions, so to speak, to somehow keep their civilization alive. And they made a deal with the U.S. government to try another external technologically based Merkaba experiment under the guise of making a naval ship be invisible to enemy radar. This, of course, is the classic true story of the Philadelphia experiment, of which a movie was made about this experiment. And in classic form, just like the Atlantean days, the Philadelphia experiment went horribly wrong. Many of the great scientists of the day were involved with this experiment, including Nikola Tesla, who, by the way, designed the technology behind this pendant and the technologies that I sell that harmonize electromagnetic frequencies. Anyway, Nikola Tesla, who immediately regretted his involvement, because when they activated the technological Merkaba machine to make the ship invisible, what really happened was the ship in 1943 went out of space-time and reappeared in 1983 in the island of Montauk, New York, when and where they were again conducting another external Merkaba experiment. Now, as soon as the machine was activated in 1943, all hell broke loose. Some men on the ship jumped overboard to safety. Others reappeared in 1983, but were embedded into the structure of the ship. Others survived, like Al Bielek, to tell their tale of survival and time travel. You can watch videos about Al Bielek on YouTube about his harrowing experiences from the seminars that he has spoken about. Since the 1800s, countless ships and later planes have been lost in the Bermuda Triangle, most of which wreckage has never been found. And you can read about where they ended up in the amazing book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, also known under the name Theouba Prophecy, where a benevolent ET race transported the author, Michel Demarque, to a planet and dimension where the ship's planes and survivors ended up after they were transported through space and time to this planet. Now, these experiments have fortunately been discontinued, and the Galactic Federation has stabilized this anomaly, and in the last 20 years, there have been very few plane and ship losses related to the Bermuda Triangle. One private pilot did experience very anomalous readings and experience a time where all of her electronics and guidance systems would not work, and she experienced a complete lack of vision as if a blanket had been thrown over her plane, but she made it through safely back to Florida. But hopefully that area will be brought back to normal and it will be safe to fly and sail through the Devil's Triangle. So I hope you have enjoyed my quick little historical ET Bermuda Triangle summary vodcast, the Bermuda Triangle, a brief history report, a brief history of their involvement with planet Earth, specifically the gray aliens, and a little bit of ancient galactic history. And I hope it helps you open to our ET starseed history, as well as our involvement with ETs in general, as well as our ancient history that goes back literally millions of years, not just a measly 5,000 years like a lot of religious people believe. But we won't go there, girlfriend. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed my vodcast. If you did, please share with your friends. Bless them with these amazing teachings. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel and my podcast channel, The Master Keys of Creation. Come visit me at zakiron.com for tons more self-empowering goodies to help you become a conscious, deliberate creator of reality to literally make your dreams come true. Come visit me on Facebook. Send me a message. My name is Zakiron, and I'm here to help you remember that you are an unlimited master of divine creation, and you have the power and the freedom to create the joy, love, well-being, and abundance that you desire. Anyway, thanks again for watching my video, for listening to my podcast, and I wish you immense joy and abundance on your magnificent journey of divine creation, and remember to make life a holiday.
Woohoo!